We're back on Canucks Central. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Canucks and Florida Panthers are coming up. Kevin Lankinen getting the start for Vancouver, his second, as he and Artur Shelovs continue to split starts. We are big supporters of the Canucks Autism Network Pro-Am, which is coming up November 1st to 3rd. Sat and I are going to be emceeing draft night as we have in years past. Ryan Kesler is one of the players that is playing in the event, and you can actually go and see some of the old Canucks alumni that are going to be playing when the games happen on the weekend, November 2nd and 3rd. But if you want more details, we do appreciate anybody considering to donate to the cause of supporting the Canucks Autism Network and the Can Pro-Am. You can bid on items at the Can Pro-Am online auction at canproam.ca. You can also donate at canucksautism.ca. We've also, with Sportsnet 650, we've just launched a raffle, as Kevin Woodley has done incredible work to help put this together. You can find the link at my Twitter page, at DanRiccio_, and the raffle gets you the opportunity to win Canucks tickets. There's some autographed jerseys of Hughes, Pettersson, and Demko as well. So if you can find it over at DanRiccio_, you want to be a part of the raffle that is ongoing. You can get in there and help us support the Canucks Autism Network, as it does so much to help those on the spectrum across this province. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. All right, we're going to get into some of what's happened here with the Vancouver Canucks at 0-1-2. Let's bring in our next guest. It is Landon Ferraro. Thanks for this, Landon. How are you?
Doing good. How about you?
We're doing all right. Your pop's getting more accolades going into the BC Sports Hall of Fame, eh?
Yeah, he felt like he was losing some attention. So
again. You were getting too much praise as the new Canucks analyst, so he had to take some of it back.
Yeah, he had to show where the hierarchy is, apparently. So once again, he comes out, but no, it was awesome to see. Yeah. He's well deserving to be in there, and it's taken a while. So, I know he won't say too much, but he's really excited about this.
Well, and you know what? Like, I know, especially a lot of our younger audience that never really watch Ray play, like, don't realize Ray. I mean, I know if you talk to Ray, he'll tell you he scored 408 goals, but no, I mean, he had a really big NHL career. Like, we're not just talking about a guy who played games. I mean, he played almost 1,300 games in the NHL. I mean, we're talking about a really impressive career, right?
Yeah, and not to keep going, but he was a small guy that found a way to be very effective at a time when players at that stature didn't really do it. It was really few and far between. So, it was impressive. And like I tweeted out, it was, for a little kid growing up watching his dad, every summer in the gym, and I'd go in there and lift my 5-pound dumbbells to feel like I was doing something with them. And it was a great example growing up.
It is Landon Ferraro joining us. Canucks analyst joins us every Thursday here on Canucks Central. So Canucks coming off their first regulation loss to Tampa Bay. They've got Florida today. And I know the reaction, it's probably fueled by the fact that the Canucks have yet to get a win. And they were really poor in the first period the other night against Tampa Bay. It took them a while to find their legs. But I felt like the reaction was a bit over the top, because they were right there with Tampa for the final two frames of that period. Maybe I'm just being too kind, but it felt like a lot like the first three games, like in different ways, the Canucks just haven't been able to find a consistent effort through 60 minutes.
The hard part, too, is you're going into a Tampa team that has a lot of emotion going on with everything that's with the hurricane and everything going on down there, and they finally get their home opener. Like, they're going to come out hot, and the first road game, especially flying that far, it takes a little bit. But at the same time, like, they were down a day, another day early, so that excuse is kind of gone. It's just you can't expect to make up two periods on the road in Tampa after the start that they had, even though it was still totally attainable score-wise. it just didn't feel like that.
No, that's exactly it. And I think part of the issue here is it's early in the season. You have new faces. And even when you compare it to last year, I thought structurally they were stronger, but they also had that real dud of a game against the Flyers, game three of the season. And even game two against Edmonton, Edmonton was the better team. DeSmith, you know, played really well, and they collapsed well in front of their net for the most part, and structure was all right, but it was really Edmonton, you know, we were putting them under siege for much of that game. And then they lost a game against Tampa, played a bit better. So in terms of early season, I know we talked about the start last year, but it's very difficult to get off to a start where you're look really good the first five or six games of the season, doesn't it?
It's just really hard, you know, as a team, but as an individual too. Like, you're trying to get yourself and your team rolling into the season. And generally, you know, the team plays pretty good, like, as a whole. And it might be you personally that you're like, you know, I'm not quite there yet. I don't feel comfortable. Like, I still got a bit left here to get up to speed. But when you have a bunch of guys that are all kind of dealing with that at the same time, like, it makes it impossible to start to gain that momentum. Like, you know, the Oilers have been going through a lot of the same, obviously, and they finally kind of break out after the, you know, the disaster, you know, melees of the second period there. And it kind of looked like they had that jump that they needed, that it looks like it's kind of turning. Like, that's what I want to see from the Canucks today. Like, just the, like, you can see the attention and desperation get cranked up a couple notches. And that's what, you know, everyone needs to see from the Canucks.
Well, and I think we can chalk most of the issues for the entire team as a whole to, like, early season. They'll probably figure it out. Like, it's not too much to worry about. And for any individual player, I think that opinion also holds true. But with Elias Pettersson, because of what we saw the final 30-odd some games to end last year, because of what we saw in the postseason, or maybe more accurately, what we didn't see, how do you view these first three games, and how much patience should there be? And should we just look at it as, hey, early season struggles, or is there something deeper we should be worried about here?
It's a tough one because you need to be patient with it. You know, in my opinion, regardless of what's happening, like, it doesn't help to just keep piling on and piling on. But at the same time, you know, I read the article today, it might have been Drantz, I can't remember now, but he's talking about, you know, players in the league over the history that, you know, have the points per game that Pettersson has, and, you know, where they had kind of gone after that. And he's, you know, there's only 19 of them. But if you look at that list, like, the one thing that he's missing, what those guys showed through their careers just right now, is just the extra, like, hunger. Like, you know, one of the guys on the list, and, you know, they just played them, is Kucherov. And, you know, there's not many guys in the league that you can see, like, he wants to score more than anything. And when he scores, like, he's fired up. And I'm not saying that Petey has to become this crazy, excited guy all of a sudden, but whether you're playing good hockey or not, you know, you can see if the guy's giving everything. And right now, it just feels like he's a bit tentative and unsure. And that's really slowing him down pace-wise, which takes away, you know, where his best game is. Like, the reason he can contribute like he can is because he's such a good skater, and then he has his vision on top of that. So he uses those two things to really create space for himself and plays for his line mates. But without that right now, it's just kind of one shift to the next.
Yeah, and he, like, at his best, he plays with such conviction, right? And
100%.
Yeah, and you just, as you mentioned, you don't really see that right now. And I guess the glass half full view of it is it's a confidence thing. Maybe he gets the monkey off his back, scores a goal, and then it slowly starts to come back, as we've seen it happen for so many other stars in the past.
And it could totally be that, but the scary side, or the dangerous side of that, is we have been saying it since playoffs last year and even leading into it.
Yeah,
it was a confidence thing. You know, I know he had his injury he was dealing with as well, but, you know, not saying he, if everything's not feeling right, that he still needs to be at 100% performance, but even when a guy's feeling something, you can see when, you know, he makes the extra effort to try and get somewhere. Whether he gets there or not, you can see the effort. And that's really the only way you can work yourself out of things. Like, no one's going to give you confidence. No one's going to, you know, come up to you and, you know, hand you a coffee and a plate of confidence with it. Like, you have to find that for yourself. People can help you and try and kind of build you up, but at the end of the day, like, it's on you to find that. And one of the easiest ways to do it is simplifying and then not trying to go into a game thing, I need to score tonight. Like, just worry about the next play. Like, I'm going to win the next puck. And if he continues doing that, I believe that he'll get himself out of this quicker than later.
We saw him play with Hoglander and Garland towards the end of the game in Tampa as Tocchet tried to find some mixes that could work a little bit better than what he had going. We're not sure if that's what they go with today, but just the idea of Pettersson going with Garland right now, like, do you try and use Garland, who's maybe the Canucks forward that's off to the best start this season, to try and ignite Pettersson?
It's not going to hurt to try it. I mean, like, whether you're a fan in the stands or media sitting up top, like, you're watching Garland right now, and that's someone that is, you know, obviously at the top of his game early here, but at the same time, like, he's someone that's going to drag you into it as well, right? Like, just off his pure determination every shift, like, that guy wins every puck battle he goes into. It's amazing to watch. And that's exactly what I'm talking about with Pettersson. Like, he doesn't need to be as, you know, head first into everything as Garland is, but if he can be on a line with him and if that pulls him into the battle a little bit more because I got to keep up to him, well, maybe that's the thing that can spark it. But, you know, that's a lot of what ifs. Again, like, I just go back to, at the end of the day, like, it's on Pettersson to figure this out for himself.
No, absolutely. And I think that's where it's at in terms of him being able to take that step and show he can be the superstar player that they paid him to be. And, you know, I find, as much as there are conversations and people wondering about the Canucks defense and defenders specifically, I do think some of that would be kind of forgotten if their top players were performing, especially Pettersson. They won a couple games. But what is your opinion on the Canucks' third pair and what we've seen from, you know, guys like Juulsen and Desharnais at times? I've actually liked Forsberg, but he's not in the lineup tonight. What do you make of how the Canucks have defended and specifically how that third pair has looked so far this season?
I mean, I think you're right in the fact that, you know, the guys up front could hide a little more if the guys on back were a little bit sharper right now, but you can flip that again and say the forwards could help the D, and that's the issue right now is it's not one part of their game, it's literally their team game. And the hardest thing watching the defense pairings right now is just how, like, when a puck gets thrown in, like, dumped into their end, like, the puck moves slow, you know, it's easy to read. You're watching it, like, it goes in, you know, it's going D to D and it's going up or through the middle. Like, it's a bit predictable right now. And part of that issue is just moving the puck on the back end. Like, it needs to move with pace and, you know, I say quicker, but I mean it in the time sense. Like, you don't need to stand and look for the next play. Like, get your feet moving and make the next play there, because it becomes easier once you get moving with it. You know, we'll see if Brännström gets in tonight, but, you know, he's someone that skates and moves the puck well, but you're giving up a bit of defense on that. And I think the other guys have done an okay job, but they need to find a way to move quicker out of the zone. And if that means maybe it's Brännström, and yeah, you might be giving up a little defense here and there, it makes a wrong read, but at the same time, he might be more often than not getting the puck moving quicker and into one of the forwards' hands faster, which is desperately needed right now.
With a player like Brännström, and I know we've talked about this in a different context with Sprong as a forward, but do some guys just have more trouble developing that defensive awareness at the highest level?
Yeah, and I mean, it's something that guys you play with in junior, like, you see it all the way along, and their skill gets them whatever point their skill level can. Because, you know, for some other guys, you're such a good defensive player and, you know, full team player that your skill level doesn't need to be as high because you can work your way through the rest of it. For these guys, it's either you're producing or you're not, if you're not going to be on the defensive side of it. And, you know, Brännström's shown at points, you know, that he can do the defensive side as well. But, you know, Sprong's kind of sitting there as well. Like, it gets to a point as well that you can only change so much. And the reason you bring some of those guys in is because you know what you're going to get, good and bad. And you can't be upset when you see the bad. Like, you know, see the warts a bit on the defensive side. Like, you need them. If you're going to have them in, like, they need to go. They can't try and change everything all at once. Like, yes, Sprong needs to learn a bit better defensive positioning if he's going to be able to contribute on this team, but you also need that guy to just go. Like, that's what he is. It's not a surprise right now.
Yeah, and, you know, like, in fairness to Sprong and even Brännström, who hasn't even gotten a game yet, we're talking about his defensive frailties. I think the team as a whole, different from last year, their D-zone coverages have just been poor to start this season. We saw multiple breakdowns, you know, the Canucks leaving the slot open. Braden Point had that early chance that Shelovs makes a great save on. Then there's the later one with Kucherov. I know Juleson falls down before the goal, but like, as Sat and I have discussed, like, all the coverages broke down afterwards. It was one mistake, and then there was like three or four more mistakes that happened afterwards. And you know, that's something that this team was so clean on last year. And maybe you can draw it up to new guys still learning their new assignments and the new coverages in the system. But it's one thing that's changed drastically from last year, that their D-zone coverages just haven't been on point.
And to me, it goes back to, like, moving your feet. Like, they defended with their feet last year, I felt like, way more. And this year, thus far, is a bit, like, it just seems like everyone's standing around a little bit more and then trying to react instead of being in the right position off the first, you know, off the first chance. And you have a situation as well where things aren't going right. You have some guys that are new in the lineup trying to figure things out. You have guys that have been here that are struggling a little bit to get moving. But what that also brings in is you haven't fully come together as a team, so you don't trust the other person. I'm not saying that they don't like the other person or they don't trust them, you know, with the puck in the other end, but when you're trying to get through the D zone, like, you don't know if the other person is going to be in the right spot. So mm-hmm. then you kind of cheat one more step down or towards him to help try and cover, but now you've opened up yourself, right? Like, you're starting to try and correct other people's problems instead of just taking care of your own.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those are the things that, you know, that trust and familiarity needs to be built up, because you saw plays where the players visibly on the ice are looking at each other and directing each other. And then next thing you know, the puck's going the other way. So stuff that should get ironed out as time goes on. And as far as having a different focus on you, Quinn Hughes is coming off winning the Norris Trophy, had a tremendous year last season, and he's been very aggressive. I love how he's been cutting to the net and driving the net and getting shots off, but he's having a very hard time getting shots through. A lot are getting blocked. Teams are far more aggressive in how they're closing in on him, it seems. Like, what are you seeing on Quinn, and is he perhaps trying a bit too hard right now to kind of ensure he's playing at a high level?
Maybe a little bit, but at the same time, I think he'd be one of the first to tell you as well that he has more in his game, not just you know, getting his shots through, but just all around. He can be a bit sharper, a little cleaner with the puck. You know, so, you know, he has a bit of room to kind of get himself moving as well. But with the shots especially, you know, like, I've been thinking about it, you know, a lot as these games go on, and you know now, like, everyone watches tape, and I know everyone's been talking about this part of it. You know, everyone watches tape now, and you start to pick apart, you know, things that you can read off of with guys like that, where, you know, he likes pulling it one direction and popping back, or the, you know, where he loves to, you know, stutter to the middle and then go back to the outside, like things like that. So you start to learn that. But now the thing that I've noticed is the guy, you know, whether it's the D or the other forward that's kind of down low, like they're fronting those shots so much more because they know as soon as Hughes breaks the guy's ankles up top, that wrister's coming through. But now that you know how lethal he is with it and he, you know it's going to come off that move, like it's easier to step in front of. And, you know, just off of the defensive side. So it is going to be tougher for him to get things through, but he's also, you know, he's a Norris Trophy winner and a incredibly high-end talent, skilled defenseman that, you know, he needs a bit of time just to figure out how his new way is going to be. And that doesn't mean he's changing everything, but, you know, there's a new way that he can push off and maybe get that shot off a little bit quicker. Or if he holds it and pump fakes a little bit more, you know, like just trying to find that lane, he'll find it. You know he's working at it every day, trying to figure that out. So, I mean, it's there, but just like everyone else, it's a new year. There's new challenges, and you got to work through it.
Landon, we appreciate the time as always. I know you're putting in work tomorrow, doing an hour with Jamie Dodd on Canucks Talk, and then doing some color analysis in the future as well with us. So we appreciate the time as always.
Just really trying to get my way around that place.
We appreciate it, man. Thanks for this.
Yep, have a good one, guys.
There is Landon Ferraro, Canucks analyst here on Sportsnet 650, and with Drantz off covering the Canucks over the weekend in Philly and Chicago. Landon Ferraro is going to step in on Canucks Talk tomorrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been outstanding. So yeah. I look forward to hearing what he has to say with Jamie Dodd, and it'll be good to hear him on the weekend as well.
He's getting stolen from us.
You know, listen, it's for the greater good of the station.
Yes. There's a lot to get into with the game upcoming. Canucks and Florida Panthers. Will Eric Branstrom make his Canucks debut? It feels like it is trending that way. We'll have to see ultimately what happens in warmups. Kevin Lankinen is getting the start. And as you mentioned yesterday, Sat, I did say that this is more likely the spot the Canucks get a win in Florida than the one in Tampa Bay on Tuesday.
No, you said the Canucks are not winning in Tampa, which they didn't do, and said they're winning
in Florida
because of the schedule being against them.
Yep. And also no Barkov and no Kachuk.
Yeah, so it's, you know, take advantage. Just win a hockey game. That's all I care about.
Yeah, just win a hockey game. That'll at least calm many of Canucks Nation for a little bit. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah back tomorrow 4 to 6 with a mailbag edition, and Yannick Hansen as well on a Friday to close out the week on Canucks Central. That's coming up. The pregame is next on Sportsnet 650.